Hello and welcome to the Jim Baker Family Show, coming to you from the village of Morningside, USA, snuggled in the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Join us as we discuss current day events with a biblical view. Our co-hosts today are Maricela Woodall and Mondo De La Vega. And now, live from Gray Street at Morningside, USA, here's your host, Ricky Baker.
Hello, thank you for watching Jim Baker's PTL Television Network. It is a blessing that you chose to tune in with us today, and we have an exciting program for you. I want to start off by telling you this. 1 Peter 1, 3-5 says this, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us new life and hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ Amen. From the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfaded, kept in heaven for you.
Amen.
You are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Believer, I want to tell you right now, you are being guarded by Jesus Christ. You are being comforted by the Holy Spirit. There is not a place you can go where the Holy Spirit will not find you out. So believer, I beckon you, get into a good Bible-believing church. Ensure that your relationship with Jesus Christ is intimate. And I'll tell you right now, that's not promising a perfect life. That's just promising you eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. Because trials and tribulations will come. Hard days will be here. There will be lows. And I would tell people the other day at a church service, I said, you know, it was truly in the church that I realized that rock bottom has a basement.
Yeah.
I thought, hey, we hit rock bottom. That's it. No, brother's got a basement. We found out what it was. But I realized I could always look up and there was always hope. There was always a light. I'd always look around and realize, you know what? Maybe the Lord is allowing me to go through these things so I can help other people through these trials and tribulations. And Mondo, this is an exciting day. We had just released a brand new book here at PTL. And what's it titled?
My Crazy Life.
My Crazy Life.
By Mondo De La Vega.
Officially.
Officially.
So now you got to treat me with respect.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we're talking about this, being secured in salvation, being secured in our faith, Mondo.
Yeah.
You know, someone who has come from the background you have, you were born in Central America. You fled during a civil war, during hard times. You legally immigrated here to the United States of America. You know, and wrapped in gang culture as a young person. If someone were back in the day when you were a young man, were to tell you, hey, your inheritance in Jesus Christ is secured if you simply just say yes to him, what would you have thought back then?
Wow, you're crazy. Because every day the gang reminded me not to make plans past 18 years old. I couldn't see that the reality of heaven could be real.
Wow.
The reality of what was happening around us and within us and culture. You know, when you're reminded every day by society, lock them up and throw the key away, it's kind of difficult to envision heaven.
Wow.
Because I was already living in hell.
Wow.
Right? So hell for us was every single day living in survival mode, not understanding that there's a heaven. Even though I knew there was a God, I didn't have the intelligence to understand what God is or what God can do if my life had a meaning, yet the idea of heaven didn't exist.
Wow.
You know, and that's scary.
That is.
Because a lot of us go around life not thinking that there's more to life than what we're seeing in front of us.
Yeah.
You guys grew up in the barrios and the ghettos of Phoenix. You guys saw most people there didn't see anything in heaven.
Right.
We lived according to what was in front of us. And if we had enough love to make it through the day, then that was just enough.
That's wow. Right.
So I was living in a place of just enough love, just enough peace, just enough survival instincts, just enough to make it through the day. I had many conversations with your grandma, with your mom about life.
Yeah.
Because life in the streets doesn't give you the idea of what it looks like to be happy.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes heaven is happiness. The Bible calls it joy. Yet we don't realize that we can have heaven on earth.
Yeah.
Why do I say that? That's very scriptural because the Bible says that let the kingdom of heaven come to earth.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, all about the kingdom is we can experience the kingdom down here of the same way as being experienced up there. Yet in our minds, we can't comprehend that we can have peace of mind.
Yeah.
That's right.
That we can have love, unconditional love.
Yeah. That's right.
Right? So the idea of heaven and the reality for people right now is far-fetched.
That's right. And that's what the devil does. The devil tries to convince you you're not good enough. You are, you've done too much to be loved, and you've done too much to be saved and sanctified, covered by the blood of Jesus. And you experience that day in and day out for the majority of your youth, the majority of your beginning of your life, where people are telling you, hey, you know, you're not loved enough, so you need to continue to do what you're doing. You're not good enough to go. But Mondo, there was a point in your life where you had realized, oh, maybe I do need Jesus.
That's it. That's it. And I think those moments were building. That's why I subtitled the book, The Moments That Brought a Gangster to Grace. I believe life is made up in great moments in your life, difficult moments, moments of despair, moments of desperation, moments of survival, moments of grace and happiness and joy. But all those moments came to a moment where death was knocking at the door.
Wow.
Everywhere I went, people were dying. Drive-by shooting, stabbing. As a matter of fact, I got stabbed twice, one in my back and one in my leg. And someone sent me a video of where I got stabbed. And I'm looking at the video because there was five people that got stabbed. One of them happened to die, but we were facing off against a rival gang. Mm. And we were at this lowrider show. And ever since that, there hasn't been any lowrider shows in LA from that moment. There was a magnitude of several thousand people in that arena. And there was about 500 gang members on that side and about 500 of us on this side. And we kept throwing gang signs and talking to each other. And all of a sudden, someone crossed the line. And that line, all of a sudden, we all came. It's like watching a movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we came and war and fighting. And all of a sudden, the police started coming. And as I'm running, my homeboy says, "You got stabbed."
Wow.
Isn't it amazing that in the moment of adrenaline, you don't realize that you're hurt until you stop long enough to realize that you've been hurt. Mm. Here I'm running, I'm fighting, and yeah, I got a screwdriver in my leg and a knife in my back, and I'm fighting, not realizing I've been hit, and I'm bleeding, and I'm getting weak. And as we're running away from the police, I've been hurt. And I'm dying slowly, not realizing. Another time getting out of my homeboy's car, and I write about it here, it should have been me. Because I'll give you a little scenario. We're in the lowrider. I get a page saying, call now to get orders. I get into a scuffle, and we get into arguments, and you never disrespect the shot callers or the OGs, the leaders. But I needed this promotion. And the gangs, it's like business. When you want a promotion, they give you an opportunity for that promotion. And then if you can stick to it, then they'll elevate you to another level in the company. I was looking for that level, and I'm in my teenage years. And I get this page and I say, stop the car. I got to make this call. We get into a scuffle and argument. And finally, the OG grabs the page and snatches off of me. And he starts walking towards the payphone. And the guy in front of me, where he was driving, he said, don't let him talk to you like that. And I said, he'll never talk to me like that again. If he ever does, I said, then I'm going to pull the trigger. Mm. As I'm saying that, I hear bullets. Pop, 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 pop. And I looked, and the guy that is making the call is dead.
Wow.
Wow. The call you were supposed to be making.
The call I'm supposed to be making.
And you write about that in this book.
I write about it in that book, not realizing those bullets were meant for me.
Wow.
Someone had a hit on me.
Wow.
And that's the beginning, Ricky, of wondering, when am I next? I'm next. Because after that, everything was coming fast and things started happening that it should have been me. I should have been killed. The police handcuffed me and wanted information. And you guys know in the projects, the first thing they teach you is don't tell nothing. Say nothing.
That's right.
I'd rather die by the bullet in the streets from a homeboy from my neighborhood than to tell the truth and be called a snitch. Mm-hmm. And here I'm in the police station and they're beating me, trying to get information out. And since they didn't get what they wanted, they took me to an alley about 2 hours away from where I was growing up. And they dropped me off in the Bloods neighborhood, in the Piru neighborhood.
Wow.
And they knew that the blacks and the browns didn't get along. So they said, well, the blacks will finish him off then.
Wow.
I'm all bleeding, can't even see, and I see a light, and I see 10 guys, and I see and I hear the calls of the Pyrus. Whoop, whoop, whoop. What's up, Blood? And I'm looking at, and this guy's, where you from, Blood? And I'm looking, and I can't see, and finally I hear a voice. Danger? That was my nickname. Danger, is that you? 3 weeks before, I felt compassion towards this black kid that he was getting jumped by some Mexican gangs. And I felt compassion towards this black kid. And I went and helped him out. And I said, I'm going to protect you. And I protected him, fought and protected him. And, wow. And went in the back of the school and we smoked cigarettes. And I smelled his hair. And I said, man, what is that? He said, man, this is a gel we use. You know, black people use it to keep their curls tight. And I said, man, I like that smell. And he smelled mine. And it was nothing weird. It was just we were coming out of this adrenaline rush and we exchanged gels. In the Latino culture, we use 3 flowers. That was a sign that, oh, man, that's a gangster. Slick. My hair was slicked back with a hairnet, you know, and then his was all curled up with gel. I started using that gel and my homeboy started making fun of me, but I didn't care. Wow. I liked it. He became my friend. Yeah. Not realizing 3 weeks later, he saved my life.
That's the reason you're alive.
Mm. Wow.
Jesus. You understand Christ, what happened? So in that moment, I should have died. Yet my sister walked in and tells me 3 of the most powerful statements that was the catalyst because, Ricky, I was exhausted trying to keep up an image. And I think that's you right now. Yeah. If you're a soccer mom and you're trying to keep up with the Joneses, maybe you're a CEO and you're trying to keep up pretending that everything is okay. Maybe you're in a marriage and you say, man, I just can't keep pretending that my marriage is okay. Yet in the middle of the night, I just want to leave. I want to walk away from the marriage. People are in the church right now. They don't want to know. They don't know if they should stay serving God or they should leave the church. Everybody has something they're protecting. Yet God walked in at that very moment with those 3 powerful statements. I'll give you one. What if God is real? Mm. And that began to haunt me when my sister walked in because, listen, I was never afraid of dying. I was never afraid of going to prison. I was never afraid of getting in a fight. I was never afraid to being arrested by the police. That's not because I was tough, Ricky. There's only one El Chapo. There's only one Griselda Blanco. There's only one John Gotti. Those guys are different. We were just surviving.
Yeah.
Wow.
Trying to protect the little boy that was in pain. But that survival mode became an instinct of killing and fighting and protecting and became an animal. Animals kill each other. Mm-hmm. Humans don't do that. Mm-hmm. And then we got into witchcraft and in Santeria and voodoo and all that. This is why gangs are so strong today.
Yeah.
There's a pact, right? But my sister walked in with a prophetic word in her hand. The key is don't let go of that prophetic word that God gave you for someone that is lost.
Amen.
She risked her reputation. She risked everything about her, walked in and said, what if God is real?
Yeah.
That's right.
And then she said the second one and the third one.
Wow.
And that haunted me for days. Because what if there's a heaven? The only thing I fear, this is what captivated me, is the only thing I fear was hope, love, peace. What would that look like?
That's right.
Heaven. If I can talk to God, what would that look like? Because I got a lot to say to you, God. And the second one, I wish I can tell you, but you got to get the book.
That's right.
And then the third one, I wish you, because that was the moment that shifted everything to say, if God is real, Ricky, I want him to take this pain away. You ever been in pain, Maricela, so much where you wish you can die, but the thought of it keeps you alive?
Yeah, absolutely. Amen.
The feeling of abandonment when dad said, I don't want them anymore.
That's right.
Why didn't you want me? What did I do to you so wrong that you didn't want me, that I wasn't good enough to be valued by you, to be loved by you? My father never hugged me. He spoke nice to me, but I never felt his hug. And I couldn't recognize him. Mm. And I was trying to find my father in the texture of culture, in the texture of a man, in the texture of smelling and understanding what does the father look like?
Yeah.
And a lot of you are trying to find what your mother looks like, what she sounds like, how she feels, because when they hurt you so much, you don't know what heaven looks like.
Yeah.
Amen.
I know it's a long answer, but I want to tell you something. A lot of us cannot understand what heaven is until we get that fresh revelation of understanding that he loves you wherever you are.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if you're dealing with sexuality. It doesn't matter if you're dealing with drug addiction. It doesn't mean that you're not good enough because maybe you cheated on your wife. Maybe you're stealing from your company. Or maybe you're just perfect. It doesn't matter. He loves you where you are. And that's where heaven came in. At that moment, Amen. When I wanted to die, my sister walked in and said, what if God is real?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Wow.
You know, you remind me of a passage out of 1 Kings 19. It's Elijah. He's talking, and I'm going to start at verse 4. It says, but he went unto a day's journey into the wilderness, and he sat down under a broom tree and prayed that he might die. This is the great prophet wow. Elijah. He said, I've had enough, Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my fathers.
Wow.
Then he lay down and slept under a broom tree, and suddenly an angel came and touched him. The angel told him, get up and eat. And when he looked, there was at his head a loaf of bread baked over hot stones and a jug of water. So he ate and drank and laid down again. Then the angel comes back and returns to him. Mondo, we have this perception in the church where people think, well, since I'm in a certain position, I can't make it look like I'm going through anything. Yet we have mighty men that we look up to, that we read stories about, that we preach and teach yeah. on. Elijah saying, Lord, I've had enough. Would you please take my life?
Wow.
But in the same capacity, the way that the angel brought what he needed in that moment, which was that bread and that water, the Lord does the same thing for yes. you.
That's it.
Amen.
In those moments where you're saying, I can't take it anymore. I have reached my final straw. This is the straw that is breaking my back. The Lord's saying, if you will just wait, I will bring the provision for you.
Yeah.
My messenger will bring you that bread and that water in which you need, and we will allow you to continue to rest. But the Lord has not abandoned you, friend. Amen. Pastor Jim Baker, your friend, our dad, always says, the Lord will never leave you and never forsake you. And then I love it that he revamped it. He says, actually, I studied the Greek and I realized it's a triple negative.
Yeah.
The Lord will never, never leave you. Never, never, never leave you. And never, never, never forsake you.
And let me
That's
add
a word
to that,
for you.
Because in the Greek, it also says, not at all, by any means.
That's right.
He will ever leave you.
Yes.
So
yes.
when you listen, those words, Ricky, I write them in this book.
Yeah.
Because when I met Jim Baker, and I have a whole chapter, and I just finished a pre-interview with the 700 Club that was
Which
so
is amazing.
Awesome.
A full circle. Yes. And I was telling them the one thing I learned, Jim Baker taught me this. He said, no matter what you've gone through, the one thing I learned, because when I write about Jim Baker, I write about who is Jim Baker.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful chapter.
I didn't know who he was. I had no idea. All I knew is that this man had been somewhere that I was relating to, and we connected there. And I didn't know how to connect with your friend Jim, with our father, because I read in his book, I was wrong. He was not into sports, so we couldn't talk sports. He was not into the things I was into, so there was no connection there. But we went out to eat almost every day, and I would sit with him across in hours without saying anything. And I said, God, how do I reach out to him? He's dying inside. I can't let him go, because if he was my father, I would want somebody to speak life into my father.
Yeah.
So I sat there and I would just ask him, Maricela, I would say, Mr. Jim, if you had a chance to do it again, what would you do differently? Mr. Jim, if you had a chance to go back on television, what message would you do differently?
Yeah. Mm.
And he said, I'm going to give you some advice. He said, the one thing I learned was that Jesus never walked away from me.
Yeah.
Jesus never left me, Mondo, he said. I want you to learn that, because if God ever takes you to a place that is the mountaintop, he says, you have to understand that the foundation is Jesus. That the foundation is understanding your intimate relationship with him, but understanding that no matter what happens, he'll never walk away from you.
Amen.
Even 26 years ago, he was saying that, and he said this, stay humble.
Yeah.
He said, humility will keep everything away and help you understand that when you have an intimate relationship with God, nothing else matters.
Right. Amen.
But yet, listen, how do you help somebody that is broken? You forget about your own problem. You take the focus off of you. I had to take the focus off of me to focus on his problem. And then what happened? He took the focus off his problem and put the focus on helping people.
That's right.
And I write on the book how your friend Jim Baker was restored back into life, yeah, back into dreaming again, back into, we this. Dreamed about Morningside yes. 26 years ago.
And here we sit.
On that
wow.
question
Isn't that amazing?
From that moment, but yeah. it was on helping people.
Yes.
He went out on the streets. He didn't understand one lick of Spanish.
Still doesn't.
Still doesn't.
That's right. That's right.
But they love it.
But that's your friend. And you know, Mondo, yeah. it's true. Really an honor, and honor is a light word to use to be the ones to introduce this
yes.
book on the PTL Television Network, the Jim Baker Family Show. We want you to get it. Why? Because this is truly a story of restoration.
Yes.
We want you to get this for yourself, for your pastor, for a loved one who needs to hear a message of hope, because yeah. that's what this
yes.
is.
Amen.
And so you can go to
Yes, that's right. They can go to our website, jimbakershow.com, and you just click on the Shop Our Affiliates, click on Charisma Media. You can order Mondo's book. It's available. We did, Mondo. I was like, guess what? This is one that has to get into many hands, and I believe that people will be ministered to, and I believe truly this will save lives.
That's right.
Some of those lives that you're sitting there and saying, God, I've tried. Lord, there's mothers. There's grandmothers. There's individuals, fathers who have been crying out to God saying, Lord, we have someone in my life that I've been praying and asking the Lord to bring back to God. And I really believe as I began to read through your book, Mondo, I said, Lord, what an amazing opportunity that God would use you.
Yeah.
God
Amen.
Would use your testimony and the raw and the real of what you put into these pages. And so as you order that book today, I want to encourage you, this is not a book that's just for you. It's not. Don't hold it. If you order
right.
one, pass it along, finish it, keep passing it on and on. But we have right now, we have one book, three books, or of course our Baker's Dozen, which is 13 of the books available. You
forward.
Can also call our toll-free number.
Yeah.
That's 1-888-988-1588.
Yeah,
and Mondo,
right.
I just have to say, you know, yesterday we launched it. And if you did miss the original launch date,
man.
Go
we
back.
We had the orange couches up
that's
here.
Right.
Mondo
yeah.
studio set.
That's right. And
like,
go back and
that.
Watch it. But you know, when I left that set, because we talked about, you know, your life and we talked about our life and Pastor Jim and Pastor Lori, and there was only one thing that I felt like I needed to do. After I was done with that show yesterday, I just picked up the phone and I just called my dad, Pastor Jim. And I just said, I told him, I said, Dad, I said, we did the show. We launched Mondo's book. And he was so proud. He's like, I'm so proud of Mondo, my son. He's like, I'm so proud of you guys. I'm so proud. But, you know, all that I could do was just say thank you, a simple thank you to him. And, Dad, I know that you're watching right now. And I just, you know, as I said to you yesterday, I said, your obedience to say yes. I'm like, you lived a world that most people will never have the opportunity to live in their lifetime. You were with presidents. You built a beautiful ministry that saved by
millions.
Count millions of souls for the kingdom of God. That was Heritage and PTL. And then God would take you through the prison cells and take you to the inner city to start doing outreach. And then God would bring us together.
Yeah.
God would literally bring us kids to your doorstep and ask you. God asked Pastor Jim and Pastor Lori to take in these kids, which we're sitting here.
Yeah.
And there's more of us that aren't here, but to take in so many kids who no one else wanted.
No.
No one wanted.
Amen.
And all I could say to Dad was, I said, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your yes. But you know what was most, you know what he told me? He said, it wasn't me, Marisola. He said, God put this family together. He's like, I had nothing to do with it. He's like, but God
Amen.
Gets all the glory because God literally pieced our family together. He's like, never, and this is a word that I want to also tell you guys, because this is what Dad told me. He says, never allow anyone to tear apart or take apart what God
has put
Amen. Together. And so we want to thank our partners,
wow.
though, too.
Yeah.
You know, as
Amen.
You sit here, you know, you're watching us
Praise
and we're
God.
Holding down the fort for Pastor Jim and Pastor Lori. You know, we've been sharing, you know, Dad's going through his physical therapy and he's fighting the good fight.
He is.
He's working hard to get back to this stage. And for my mom, she's there. She knows she needs to be there to encourage and uplift him and to help him during this time. But I just thought, I was like, Dad, you have entrusted us to do something that we don't take lightly. Yeah. And to every partner who watches, for you to know our heart is that we are honored to preach the gospel with you, this with you, to save souls, to have as many souls as we possibly can. If we believe that this is truly harvest time, then every single one of us should be doing everything that we possibly can to reach the lost, to reach those and bring them back into the kingdom of God. And I believe, Mondo, that your book is a tool for that.
You know what's so unbelievable, guys, is as I'm hearing you, only God, you have to understand the dynamic of this. 1 million refugees left Central America because of the Civil War during my time.
Right. And you were one of them.
I was one of the 1 million people that God said, I want that one. Out of 1 million people, I want that kid right there that is going through his crisis.
Amen.
I want him. Then landed in Los Angeles, and it was over 60,000 gang members exploded into the scenes overnight. Up to 1 million a few years later. Another 1 million. And God said, I want that one. That one right there. And then he looked over and said, millions of kids in Phoenix, Arizona. I want those right there. Mm-hmm. And then I want that preacher that nobody ever wanted. And then I wanted that white girl over there that kept serving. Mm-hmm. And I wanted her and bring them together. Yeah. And here we are.
Yeah. Amen.
The impossible. Yes. The Bible says that only God can bring the impossible together.
Yes. Amen.
And I want to say this. I want to thank you, partners.
Yes.
Every single one of you that believed in your friend Jim and Lori Baker.
Amen.
For standing year after year. You're watching a legacy of a man that said yes, a woman that said yes, but also the legacy of people like you that said, yes, Jim, I will stand with you through your troubles, through your trials and tribulations. Amen. I'm going to stand with you.
Yes.
And you're that legacy and the reason why we're still here and continuing to go forward, and we're not going to stop.
Amen.
There's no stopping this anymore.
That's right.
We're going forward, and we got a mandate from heaven, and God willing, from Dad and Mom, have a mandate to continue to preach the unfiltered gospel of Jesus Christ like
gospel.
Never before.
Amen.
Only one way to heaven, that's Jesus Christ. You know, Mondo, you had mentioned something earlier that is really prevalent in the gang world, and that is those witchcraft.
Yeah.
You know, I believe I'm talking to someone right now. You have dabbled in witchcraft. And the Lord is saying, you need to pray the blood of Jesus on yourself, on your family, and rebuke those demons from ever coming back in your home. You need to be constantly praying the blood of Jesus, because that's the only thing. You're tormented at nighttime when you sleep because of it. But the Lord is saying, the blood is sufficient to remove that torment from you.
Yeah.
You want peace, and this is the only way you can have peace. You need to accept Jesus Christ into your heart right now and say, I no longer want to sit on the throne of my heart. Jesus, that is your seat and yours alone. That is when you can be brought in as a son and daughter. You can be given the inheritance. And that inheritance is a peace that surpasses all understanding. Torment has to leave you in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes,
I heard that word while you were talking about that. I want you that are watching right now to really start, begin to pray that. And if it's your daughters or sons or granddaughters or grandsons, you know they're dabbling in witchcraft, because Mondo, the devil's getting more and more crafty.
Yeah.
They're starting to do what I think I saw the other day, Christian tarot cards, which I'm going to tell you right now, that's a lie from the pit of hell. There is no such thing as a Christian tarot card. You do not need a piece of paper to communicate with the Holy Spirit. You simply need to utter words out of your mouth. He's there listening to you.
Mm.
You need to think those thoughts and those prayers. He's there listening to you. No way do you need a, I don't even want to call it a Christian tarot card. You don't need a tarot card to communicate with the spiritual realm. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is instilled inside of you. But Mondo, we've seen, like you said, that is what made these gangs so powerful. It's because they use the spiritual aspect. Yes, the devil, you know, is the reason this is, the devil is the prince of the air here. He has that power. We have a more powerful source. That is Jesus Christ. We are the victors. We are the winners. But the devil is still doing everything he can to promote this. And Mondo, you know, we have a report. I really want to watch this. It's about the gang culture that's happening, exploding across the world. And if you don't mind, I'm going to keep interviewing you. I want to talk to you about some things happening. But let's watch this. I want to get your opinion on it.
It's a gangster party. You already know, man. We still got to take care of business, though.
You basically have a scenario where we've created this culture of lawlessness.
This was a scene last Thursday at around 11 a.m. According to the NYPD, they responded to a 911 call about a man causing a disturbance at the migrant shelter on Randall's Island.
A shooting Sunday night near 15th and Spurgeon Streets in Santa Ana hits too close to home for parents of small children. Santa Ana police investigators surrounded the neighborhood around 8 p.m. after a three-year-old girl was shot while sitting in a car seat in the back seat of her mom's car.
A stern message from Columbus Division of Police Assistant Chief LaShawna Potts. It came at a news conference announcing more than 20 convictions or arrests of members of the BL-800 gang.
Look at the entrance to the Louis Vuitton store at Oak Brook Center. A crew of criminals, 14 suspects, according to police, working together in the store and driving away in three vehicles.
We've had from Compton a mob of about 100 people going wild at a gas station, and in Chicago, that made headlines over the weekend. A group of teens went wild Saturday night. Police say hundreds jumped on cars and smashed car windows.
Federal prosecutors are filing federal charges against more than 40 alleged gang members and their associates. Officers seized more than 60 weapons. Investigators say the suspects often bragged about their crimes on social media.
Venezuelan gangs, increasingly a problem for NYPD. A violent criminal organization called Tren de Aragua recruits illegal migrants who arrived in New York City.
Federal immigration officials say two of those suspects are linked to a violent Venezuelan gang called Tren de Aragua, and now are contributing to the wave of assaults against New York City police officers that's being called a full-blown epidemic.
What more do we need as a nation to stop the chaos and lawlessness at our border?
Wow. And Mondo, I have a question, because as you're watching this, see, for most of the world, for most of the nation of United States, these gang worlds have always been contained to the inner cities of America.
That's right.
And now what we're watching, and the question that I have is, do you believe, as we've just watched, do you believe that as we continue in these last days, we're going to see more of this leave the quarters, leave that containment from the inner cities of America and start coming into cities where typically suburbans, areas that this never existed before?
The answer is yes.
Wow.
Let me give you a quote from the Department of Justice, okay? Open border policies, and I quote, open border policies have led to the influx of criminal gangs into the United States, rising concerns about rising violent crimes coming to a neighborhood near you, end of quote. Where we are in America, according to the gang culture, is because America never wanted to deal with this problem in the first place. They thought that they can contain it by deporting it and not reporting it.
Right.
Wow, that's deep.
Listen to that. By deporting it and not reporting it, meaning we're going to grab million gang members, deporting them back to their countries without reporting it to the presidents that were sending a million gang members, violent criminals, back to their original countries and not reporting it and not warning the presidents on how to deal with this problem. This problem was birthed in the inner cities of America, yet we never wanted to deal with them because, you know what? Why deal with the problem when when America in the 80s was flourishing financially? You don't want to ruin that.
That's right.
But the problem is now with social media, they're able to communicate and recruit in a larger level like never before, because we never wanted to deal with it in the 80s.
That's right.
Yet, there's a prime example of America not accepting that there's a problem and not dealing with crime the way it should be done.
That's right.
Criminals need to be dealt with punishment.
Yes,
listen, in my book, I write about how an FBI agent said, your gang is worse than cancer. Mm-hmm. A cancer you can cut out.
Wow.
You guys keep growing and there's no stopping. We think that by changing the laws, we're going to stop them. There's no stopping. You see all the mobs that are going in there and robbing?
That's right.
See, Mondo, if I can, and I want you to keep talking about this, because I feel like what you're revealing, you go in depth. You're real, you're raw, in depth in your book. But I believe that what you're revealing is when you think of gangs, you know, sometimes your mind's very small-minded. But you've said before, you're like, this is organized. It's such an organized, there's not dysfunction. No. There's such an order to this. And absolutely. I want you to talk about that.
You have to almost think about it as a corporation. You got executives, you got board members, you got banks, you got decision makers. The gangs are structured in a way that in order for them to function, because you're dealing with high profile politicians, you're dealing with high profile military, you're dealing with billions of dollars in exchange with weapons and drugs, human trafficking. So you can't just have some knuckleheads dealing business. These are business people that you make one mistake, you're dead. There's no questions asked. Mm-hmm. Yet the protocol of building a gang is like building a franchise. If I can build a successful franchise in East LA, then let's build another franchise in North Hollywood. Okay, that's successful. The same gang name now in North Hollywood, that's two locations. Right. We had a saying, we have to take this Billy Graham style, meaning we got to organize to make gang world all over the world.
Wow.
Today, the gang that I belong, and people ask me, how come you didn't name the gang? One, I never want to give glory to them.
That's right.
Number one. Number two, the seriousness of my decision to walk away was life and death for me. And it was important for them as much as it was for me to walk away. But I promised them I will never mention them. I will never talk about them. I will never again will give them the glory.
Yeah.
The book publishers asked me to put pictures. And I said, I can't do that. I said, I will never give those evil people ever credit for what they've done in my life, let alone praise the God. World. And so I chose not to do that. But the organization skills was so powerful that they began to take over El Salvador and the politics of El Salvador. Wow. I want to show you a clip. Why is this book relevant for now? It's because the president of El Salvador had to deal with the crime in a way that many people in America would march against. Yet it is happening in America right now. It's not when, it's now.
That's right.
They're taking over Miami. They're taking over Chicago. They've taken over California. They're taking over Indiana. They're taking over Iowa. They're taking over New York City, New Jersey. There's no longer a safe zone. I'm not trying to scare you. The problem is in your backyard. And if we don't give authority to the police to deal with it the way it should be done,
that's right.
We have no hope. People ask me, aren't you against the police? No, I'm pro police department. I love the police. I had to forgive those bad apples and the police forces for doing what they did to us. But I want to tell you something. There's a lot of great law enforcement that are protecting our neighborhoods, military people. But I want you to hear the most important message on why you need this book from the president of El Salvador, which came to the United States a few days ago for the CPAC conference and convention. He had this warning and this message for you. Watch this.
The next president of the United States must not only win an election, he must be able to identify the underlying forces that will conspire him, that will conspire against him. These dark forces are already taking over your country. The same thing was happening in El Salvador. In the span of less than a decade, gangs took control of all the country and our society. They evolved into a parallel government, controlling elections and even political parties. Every aspect of the daily life of most people was controlled by the gangs. Murder capital of the world is a tragic title to hold.
Murder capital of the world.
Wow.
They were controlling the nation. Our gangs right now are controlling the nation right now, and yet we don't realize it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Oakland, California used to be one of the envies of the world.
Right. Truly.
You can't be in Oakland, California right now. Even the citizens, even the same people in Oakland are leaving. It's no longer safe there. It's a ghost town. Chicago. They've taken over Chicago. They've taken over New York City. They're taking over Miami, Florida right now. This, he called it a force. There's a supernatural demonic force behind the gang entity that the only way to break it is by the power.
The blood of Jesus.
Amen.
That's right. The blood of Jesus. The only
that's
way
the only
it.
Way you can go against this kind of force. They have to break the curse. You have to listen. I always said this. The only way gang members can change is by the power of the Holy Spirit, is by the penetration of the gospel, is by changing the heart. If we can't change the heart of mankind, there is no hope.
That's right.
No hope.
That's right.
There's another gang book out right now, and this guy contacted me because he was one of my enemies, and he became a naval force. He became the highest Navy that you can get.
Wow.
And he came from one of my worst enemies. But I told him, I said, what are you doing in your book giving glory to your gang? I said, the difference between my book and I is that my book is based on the gospel of Jesus Christ that can change a man's life.
Amen.
It's not a military. And I'm not against the military. I think the military has done great things. But if you understand, do your research. The gangsters that are in the military right now are taking that training and taking it back into the streets of Los Angeles and revolutionizing
America. We've seen reports on that. That's right. We've seen reports on that.
It's the most unbelievable thing. You know what we did? I'll show you a little secret I didn't put in the book. Our gang used to give us orders, because if you're going to survive in the culture, then you have to create a subculture, right? Because if society is not going to take care of our own, then we have to create a society within a society. So what did we do? We started sending young girls to school and making them nurse. And then we used that money and created a nonprofit clinic so they become our nurses.
Whenever,
because if one
shot.
Of us got shot and went to the LA County Hospital, then the police has to get involved.
Wow.
So how do we keep the police away? We created a clinic. We pay for their education. They became our doctors. They became our nurses. We couldn't, we had to create a lawyer so that we send them to the lawyer school. We had to have all the, listen, in order to get training, we had to send them to the military so they can bring the training back and train the rest of us.
Wow.
Don't tell me these are knuckleheads on the streets just hanging out.
That's right.
These are trained, organized crime. But something happened in the 1990s that America wasn't ready for, and we didn't deal with it then. And now we're seeing the repercussions now, an inflection of an explosion of gang members that didn't look Italian, didn't look Irish. They were bolder. They came out of a civil war, and they have no heart to cut your head and mail it to your mom and saying, if you don't cooperate, this will happen to the next person in your family.
Wow.
How do you take that evilness out? How do you deal with that evil? Yeah. You deal with it with the gospel.
Yeah.
The only thing that can change a gang member's heart is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Flat out.
Yes.
And why I say that is the president of El Salvador is a born-again Christian.
Amen.
Listen to me. He's not a politician first. He's a born-again Christian that believes that if his nation is going to change, they have to repent. They have to surrender, but they also have to abide by justice.
Yeah.
And I believe this, Mondo, that there is a revival that is going to be sparked. I believe your book is a huge part of it. But I believe in this gang cultures, in this gang movement, there is a revival that is going to come where the blood of Jesus is going to sweep over counties, not just cities. It's going to sweep over counties. And we're going to see many men and women give their life to the Lord and say, you know what? The blood is strong enough to redeem me.
We need every mother. How do we stop it? Mom, get your clubs out. That's your clubs. Gather a club of mothers. Fathers, gather a club of fathers, grandparents, get together. Listen, I'm not trying to sell books, but get this book. This will be the tool to help you organize a blueprint on how to walk in and lay hands on them and prophesy over them. The other day I was at Litz store. I like wearing hats, but they break me out, you know? But I went to the Litz store and I'm standing there and my wife is looking at hats over there. I'm standing here and I see this gang member come in dressed in all red, tattooed all up. And God says, preach to him, minister to him. And I'm going, oh man, okay, God. And he's looking at me and he's throwing his signs. And my wife walks by and she said, you know, he's a preacher, right? And I said, man, you ruined the girl, you know? And he looked at me and said, you're a preacher? Yeah, I am a preacher. I said, what do you know about Christ? I told him. He goes, I don't know nothing. I said, where are you from? He said, I'm from Houston. I said, what are you doing over here? We're scoping up the land. We want to start a chapter here. I said, well, you're not going to do that. I said, let me tell you what God has for you. And I began to minister to him on lids. He began to cry. I laid hands on him. And he said, you know, I had to come all the way to Branson to find that Jesus loves me.
Wow.
Amen. Praise God.
All I'm telling you is gather people and go and minister. They need the gospel like never before. If we don't want them coming knocking at our front door, it is happening right now. They're targeting, Dad prophesied this, that one day the gangs will go up to the suburbs and begin to take over and steal what the rich people are owning. And we're seeing that right now.
We are seeing that. That's right.
The prophetic word is happening right now. The Bible says there will be chaos, that we will see colors against each other.
That's right. Ethnic groups against ethnic groups
against ethnic groups. We're watching that right now. And we're watching the war of ethnicity take over America. Yet a prophetic word is now that revival is going to take place when the church can step in and prophesy and lay hands and understand that the only way this land can be healed, Ricky, is if my people.
Yes.
Amen.
My people.
Amen.
That's a powerful word. If my people can just get the tools in their hands, I want you to order 13 of these books and start passing them out in every neighborhood. I want you to order it. If you have a passion to save America, if you have a passion to save your community, if you have a passion to preach the gospel, you don't have to say anything. You can be like my sister and say, here.
Amen. Yeah.
Yep. And walk away and let God do the rest of the story. Amen. Let God do the conviction. The only thing that can change a man and a woman's heart is the conviction of the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Which comes through the preaching of the word. And I believe, like this, Mondo, this book is simply preaching the hope and the restoration that Jesus Christ can offer you.
Amen.
Mondo, I have a question. What would it look like if a band of, you said, get your group together. What would it look like if a group of ministers got together and said, hey, let's just go preach the gospel of Jesus Christ at these border countries?
It would look like hope.
What in it?
Listen, when you walk in, I was screaming a silent scream, and yet nobody was hearing me. Nobody was willing to step into my world. When I saw my sister come in, it gave me hope. It gave me hope that there's more to life than this. There's more to than earning money, than going to parties, more than lowriders, that I needed to find peace.
Yes.
All of these kids, all these young men and women that are terrorizing, they're looking for hope.
Wow.
They're desperately looking for someone to say their value, that someone loves them. And listen, you have to step out of your comfort zone. We have to meet people where they are.
Yes.
That's the powerful thing about Jesus, is that he walked in and he hang out with the sinners, the ones that nobody wanted, the ones that people didn't seem them so good. Yet he had dinner with them. He broke bread with them. And yet when you walk in as a group and say, we love you.
Yeah.
That's right.
Don't go out and preach to them. We know we're living in sin. And I talk about it in my book. The last thing I needed was my sister to walk in and say, you are a sinner. Repent. You're going to hell. I was already living in hell. I didn't care if I was going to hell. I didn't care if I was living in sin. I didn't even know what that nonsense was. But I knew when she walked in and says, what if God is real?
Yes. Amen.
What if he loves you? What if you have a different destiny? That began to give me hope. What if I do have a different destiny?
Right.
What if he does love me? What is it about me that he loves? Because I can't see it. It makes me think of what you said the other day, Maricela. Life is like this. I see hope in the back, but I see hope in the front, but all I see is emptiness in the back. I can't see hope. I can't see what's in front of me until someone came in and turned it around and said, that's the hope you have.
Amen. Yeah.
That's right.
That's what you do when you walk in with a group of people and you walk in with love. I'm not saying excusing what's happening, but in order to take back what the enemy's stolen, you have to walk into the enemy's camp. That's the only way you can start changing society is by walking in and start taking over one group at a time.
Amen.
Don't be afraid. Listen, if you lose your life, what a privilege that is.
Right.
My sister could have lost her life walking in. She knew it. She said, I'm risking my life being here. I'm risking being raped. I'm risking everything before I got to you. All the homeboys were whistling at her. They could have kidnapped her and abused her and, you know, said all these crazy things. Yet, she said, God, if I die trying to do this, then at least I tried.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Amen.
You don't want to be laying in your deathbed and you have the ghost of what you could have done.
Yeah.
You could have preached the gospel and now you're dead. We can't help you.
Mm-hmm.
Yet that's why I fell in love with the passion that Jim Baker and Lori Baker had, because she became Jesus with skin on.
Yes.
Amen. And she said, I'm going to risk my life to go into the inner city and feed this kid.
Yes.
And that's give right. you hope.
Amen.
Sometimes hope is in a book.
That's very right. true.
Sometimes hope is in a plate of food.
That's right.
Sometimes hope is in a that's gift right. of socks.
Right.
And that creates the relationship to say, hey, you know, you don't have to live this way.
That's right.
You know, there's more to life than this. You know that he loves you. The preacher grabbed my face and he said, you know that Jesus is crazy about you. Mm-hmm. That broke me because for the first time, I felt valued.
Yeah.
Wow.
You felt valued when mom and dad came in and they stepped into your world.
Yeah.
Amen. You felt value when mom left her comfort zone, went all the way to Phoenix for another business, yet you became her business.
Right.
Meaning you became the priority and said, I had to save this baby.
Yes.
I don't know what we're going to do with him. I don't know where he's going to be in life. I don't know if he's going to stay. But my job is to get whatever Amen. It needs to be able to have a chance in life.
Amen.
That's what hope looks like. Listen, call the number right now, 1-888-988-1588. Get 13 of this book, A Baker's yeah. Dozen. Mm-hmm. Do it today because you can save a Ricky's life. You can save a Maricela's life. You can save a Mondo's life. You can become Jim and Lori Baker and change someone's yes. life and not realizing that one day they're going to be changing the world.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Can you imagine?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
That gang member that everybody's afraid of became Nikki Cruz.
Yeah.
David Wilkerson stepped in. This little skinny pencil preacher walked into New York City and preached the gospel and told Nikki Cruz, Nikki, you can cut me into a million pieces, but every piece will tell you that Jesus loves you, Nikki.
Wow. Amen.
Amen.
That changed his world.
Yeah.
Amen.
Why not you?
Why not you?
Amen.
Wow. Amen. You know, there is a God and he is real and he absolutely loves you. He sent his only son to die on a cross for you. With you on his mind, he hung on that cross and realized that every drop of blood that was shed was so that you could be redeemed, so that you could be called a son and a daughter and be fit to become an heir. Because brother and sister believer, by our own strength, we could never do it.
That's right.
Armando, sometimes we get in this habit where we want to work so hard for God that we yeah. forget to spend those intimate moments right. with God. God is calling you to intimacy, especially yeah. in these last days. And we do believe we're living in the end times. It yeah. is a message that Pastor Jim Baker was revealed by the Lord in prison. And it is a message that we all say, yes, that is absolutely accurate. Why? Because we've all had our own divine revelation
that's
of
right.
this.
Amen.
But I want to tell you right now, the only thing that's going to matter, yes, be a hard worker. Go spread the gospel. Go evangelize. Those are all absolutely wonderful things. But if you're evangelizing and you're preaching until your heart can't preach anymore, but you have not an intimate relationship with Jesus, yeah. then what for, believer? You know, Mondo, there's a scary thing in the Bible where men and women will stand before God and said, have we not preached the gospel in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done all these wonderful miracles in your name? And Jesus will simply say, but I never knew you.
Wow.
God wants to know you. Jesus wants to have an intimate, yes. interpersonal relationship with you, where when you're crying in the shower or you've had a long day at work and you feel like nobody can understand me, Jesus understands you. The Holy Spirit gets it. You know, I love in the Bible, it says that, you know, the Holy Spirit will intercede on our behalf, even when it is groanings that can't yes. be uttered, even when it's groanings we don't understand. Mm-hmm. And Mondo, I know you've been there. I know I've been there. Marcel, I know you've been yes. there. Where you have that cry, and believer, you're watching, I know yes. you've been there.
Yeah.
Where you have that deep hurt inside of you, where it feels like, I don't even have words for this.
Yeah.
Right. I simply can groan. I've had those cries, those deep hurts in my heart. But I was comforted knowing this, that even though I may not have words to cry before the throne of heaven, the Holy Spirit knew exactly what I was saying.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit knew exactly how to comfort me. Believer, that gift is there for you. The peace that surpasses all understanding, the gift is there for you. To be a tree that bears good fruit yeah. is a gift that God has given to you. Like I said, there's a lot of Marthas in this world, but believer, I beckon you to reevaluate your heart. Yes, mm-hmm. continue to work for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We do it every single day here. We wake up, we prepare shows, we get ready, we come out and we spread the gospel. Then we go and we work all of our meetings throughout the afternoon. Yes, we work to make sure that the gospel can be spread around the world,
yeah.
but we all have to make sure that the first thing we do yes. is that we spend intimate time yes. with Jesus. Amen. And if you're saying, well, hey, I'm a little busy during the day, then I will tell you the best thing you can do is wake up a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
I know it's harder, but wake up a little bit earlier before your family does and spend some moments praying. You know, I heard this analogy and I think it's powerful. I want to share it with you. It says, you know, we as Christian believers want to spend eternity with God, but yes. for some reason have trouble making hours for him here on earth.
Right. Good word. Yeah. And it's going to be so key because as I'm watching prophetic events,
Amen.
And I know we got to go, but I got to give you this because I know our Father Jim Baker wants you to know
That's
what
right.
is happening in the prophetic. If there's ever a time to need God is now,
yeah.
as we're watching the conversions of prophetic events, Texas facing wildfires over a million acres. At the very same time, California is dealing with 12 feet of snow. In the middle of that, Ricky, we're watching China buying out land. This is important to understand
yeah.
because we're watching a takeover of our nation,
right.
not just in our borders, but listen, we are at the forefront of World War III breaking out and America's not ready.
Right.
If there was ever a time to be prepared, it is now.
Absolutely.
I mean, I got another one, just the last one. This is unbelievable because I cannot believe that we report on food constantly,
mm-hmm.
yet in America, we seem like, oh, there's not a problem. Yet we're watching the meat industry
right.
disappear slowly.
Right.
And I want to tell you something. If you haven't ordered your food today, do it right now.
Yeah.
We're watching the
Today's
shortage
the
of meat right now, which is going to change America within the next year. Yet we have the solution.
Yes.
That's right.
The solution is to get your family ready. Order your food today. Go to the website. Look at what options we have available for you. Because as the news are breaking, these are breaking news, yet the only thing they want to report is on the case of Donald Trump.
That's right.
Yet there's other prophetic events
yeah.
that are taking place right now. Embrace yourself. What did Dad say at the beginning of this year?
That he truly believes this is one of the last years that we will have as the body of Christ to prepare. That's why we do what we do. It's not an
yeah.
easy message to come out here every single day and preach. And it's not a glorifying message, but it is a message that absolutely needs to be preached. There is a peace of mind that comes when you know I am prepared and my family is prepared.
Yeah.
It's why we sell long-term shelf life food. It's why we have the Ark Seeds where you can go and plant
right.
a backyard garden. It's why we have Seychelle water filtration where you can ensure that you're always drinking clean water. It is the reason we do what we do so that you, believer, can have peace of mind. You can go to jimbakershow.com and shop all of our affiliates. As somebody coined the other day, and I'm going to keep saying it because it's wonderful.
Right. It's
it is truly a one-stop shop for everything you would need to ensure that you and your family is prepared.
Yeah.
If you don't want to go online, you can always call us at 1-888-988-1588. We want to hear from you. We want to make sure that you and your family are prepared for whatever may come. And you know, it's important to us and our family that we get this message out to you, that the gospel continues to go around the world. I want to thank you for supporting the PTL Television Network. It's because of you, the believer, the watcher that is watching right now that I'm looking at, that we get to continue to spread the good news around the world. We get many phone calls, we get many emails in our prayer line saying, hey, I have given my life to Jesus Christ because I realize, you know what? I am no longer wanting to sit on that throne of my heart. I want Jesus to. And that is the greatest thing that we could ever hear. Everything else is secondary to your salvation with Jesus Christ. We love you. And I want you to know this, that God loves you. He really does. Call us today or go to jimbakershow.com. We can't wait to hear from you.
Join us for our Ready Now Expo, April 11th through the 14th. We have an incredible lineup of guests who will be here at Morningside USA with us. We have Dave Robbins, Pastor Steve Chicalante, Joshua Giles will be joining us, along with special guests will be Skyping like Rick Joyner, Michael Snyder, and the list continues. We want you to come to Morningside USA and be a part of an entire weekend of seminars and workshops and hands-on training for preparedness and homesteading. We hope that you would join us.
If you want to see more content like this, like, share, and subscribe, or go to watchjimbakershow.com.